We're in the book of Haggai tonight, and I want us to consider the word consider tonight, because this is a very important word in this two-chapter book that we have in the Minor Prophets. It appears five times, and I think it's important for us to get a grasp of what the Lord is saying here. I've read a couple of commentators that I felt missed the mark. One of them said concerning this word that God simply wanted them to slow down. And, think about what they were doing and, get in line with his program. Well, that certainly is true, but there's more to this word. And there's more to it because the Bible here in this book shares that God had a serious problem with his people. It was so serious that he shut off the water and he shut off the growth of their crops. And he cut down the fertility of their animals and of their men and their families. Do you think God was serious about this? I think so. So this word, consider your ways, is very, very important. Now, I want to share three thoughts with you tonight as we look at this word, consider. And I'm going to point out each of the times, the five times that this word appears in this little book. Notice, please, in verse 5, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts." What does he say? Consider your ways. Verse 7, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Let's move on, please, to chapter 2. And we see this word again in verse 15. "And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord." Consider. Verse 18, "Consider now, from this day and upward." Verse 18 at the very end. "From the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it." Now the word "it" is supplied in our translation, but it simply says "consider" at the end of verse 18. Five times in this little book we are called upon to consider. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And then we're going to ask him to help us to understand this word and understand the context in which the Lord uses it with his people. Father in heaven, I thank you so much that we can be here tonight. We do pray for Aunt Carolyn this evening that you would just give her your grace and your mercy and peace. Help her to get the rest that she needs. We pray, Father, that her bones would begin to heal and that you would cause the pain to subside. We also pray for Doris that you would strengthen her and give her rest tonight. We think of Ann, as she also is recovering from surgery today. We pray that you would strengthen and comfort her as well. And we pray, Father, that you'd bless your word to our hearts tonight as we study it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it's interesting that in the first chapter of this little book that was written, that the "consider your ways" appears after the same phrase. It appears after, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts." Now this, anytime you see "thus saith the Lord" in the scripture, there is something very, very important that's coming down from heaven. You know, I don't think really understand what the fear of the Lord is. I think that we've sanitized that phrase throughout the generations. We've sanitized it. I want to tell you something. Whenever God spoke from heaven, Isaiah fell to his face on the ground. All right? He fell before the Lord when he saw him high and lifted up. Whenever God spoke from heaven, it caused fear in the hearts of men. And we've sanitized the word fear today to mean something less than what God intended it. I was reading not too long ago a book again that I had gotten about 15 years ago, and they were talking about the fear of the Lord, and they were saying, and they were sanitizing it because they made it sound like that, you know, the word fear is not something that creates terror within the heart, but rather fear of the Lord is the idea of simply, you know, showing him some reverence and awe. Well, certainly that word does mean reverence and awe. But I want to tell you something. Whenever God spoke in Old Testament and New Testament times, it struck fear in the hearts. When Paul was struck down on the road to Damascus, he was afraid. because God Almighty was speaking to him. I think we could go through and look at all those kind of things. I'm going to tell you something, folks. He is almighty. He's all-powerful. He's everything we're not. And that's a rude awakening for us. We think we can just pretty much do what we want to do, and we can go where we want to go, and we can handle anything that comes our way. But I want to tell you something. When God Almighty moves, I will never forget the account of the young man that went to our school. I won't say his name. But he was tragically killed in his bedroom just off of Alabama Street. It's been almost 15 years ago now. Went to our school. His dad had attended our school back whenever he was much younger, during the Baghdad and early days of Santa Rosa Christian up here on the hill. And he was tragically killed when a car was speeding down Alabama Street, did not see the stop sign, careened up a hill, went airborne, bounced nose first, completely flipped up in the air, and went through the roof of the house onto the boy who was in a bed watching basketball. The hood of the car came in and killed him. And I remember talking to some of the young people, and several of them commented to me, and it was very, at the time, it was astounding that they got it. They got it, said, it was his time to go. I mean, to have that happen. And you know what it did? It struck fear into hearts. You know, we need that. We need that reverential fear, that kind of terror that comes in and says, you know what? I can be safely sleeping in my bed or watching TV, and something like that happened. His little brother was laying on the bed beside him and had just gotten up, walked into the kitchen to get a drink when this all transpired. He was spared. And the other young man was gone. He was dead, laying in his bed. Now, he had made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. But you know what? There are times in our lives that it just is so evident it was his time to go, for that strange event to take place. I've been struck this week with all that's happened in the last day or so. I don't know how many of you have been. I've just been before the Lord just talking to him and saying, Lord, we had such a wonderful day on Sunday. Dr. Watt mentioned about how fearful he was about whenever she accidentally hit the button a month or so ago, and all the fire department and so forth like that, you know, were there. And then just 2 days later, something like this happens. And you think, Lord, what are you doing? You know, it reminds me that God is in charge. And God allows things to happen in our lives that we don't plan on. We do not plan on these things. And even those that walk the closest with the Lord face these things. And all I could think about was this phrase from Haggai, consider. Consider. It's like a wake-up call that God sends every once in a while. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. No person is above God's workings. Are you listening to me? Everybody here tonight, no person lives above God and His workings. We are all subject to Him. And if He chooses to take us out of this world in a way that just seems so strange and odd and difficult to accept, we have to understand that God has a greater package that He's working, a greater plan. And we need to be reminded of that on a regular basis. What was happening in Israel right now, in Judah specifically? The plants were drying up. The animals were not producing. They were infertile. Families were not having babies. The crops were drying up in the fields. And people were not making any connection to the fact that they were following their purposes, which were not evil. Did you get this about the book of Haggai? It wasn't an evil thing to fix your house up. What were they not doing, though? They weren't fixing God's house up. And God began to dry things up all around them. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. I want to give you three thoughts about this phrase tonight that I hope will help us all to get what he's saying here with this phrase. This isn't a casual phrase. Hey, listen up. You need to consider your ways. It's deep. It's deep. Number one, he is not saying, just be careful in what you're doing. That's not what he's saying. He is saying, I have a big problem with what you're not doing. I have a big problem with that. And I also have a problem with what led you to make this decision not to do what you're supposed to be doing. Now get that. Let that soak in. God had a problem with what they were not doing. God didn't have a problem with what they were doing. They had to live somewhere. But what they had done is they had put their focus all on that and had forgotten what God had told them to do. Build my what? My temple. Build my temple. So God began to work in a very eye-opening way. Could we put it that way? But their eyes weren't opened because they weren't thinking right. And so God said, consider your ways. I've got a problem with your ways. Number two, I want you to see this. He is saying that wrong and ill-considered thinking led to what they were doing and not doing. Wrong or ill-considered thinking. Do you know your thinking can get you in big trouble with God? We don't really meditate on these kind of things enough. We don't meditate on these things enough. We get so involved in the way that we think in life and we just think everything's okay. And they thought everything was okay, but it wasn't okay, was it? Crops dying, drought, no rain, animals not producing, their families not producing, and they didn't get what was going on because they had ill-considered thinking. Consider, in the Hebrew, means to think rightly. To think rightly or to assess carefully. You know what it means to assess? It means that whenever Mr. Brainerd assigns a test in my Academy Bible class, I said, we're going to have a test on Wednesday. You know what I'm doing? I'm going to assess what you've been doing, whether you've been paying attention or not in my class. And sometimes I find out they weren't. And sometimes I find out they were. And sometimes I find out they were kind of half and half. All right? I know because that was me. I was kind of half and half. How many of you like half and half tea? You kind of, yeah. I do that from time to time. If the unsweet is so bitter I can't take it, I'll pour in a little bit of sweet tea just to get me through so I can drink it. Well, that's fine with sweet tea. It's not so good when it comes to your grade. And God said, I want you to assess not only your actions and what you are not doing, but I want you to assess what brought you to come to your decision not to build my temple? Your thinking patterns. Thus the word, consider. This is so important, folks. You see, my actions as a child of God are the result of a pattern of the way I have thought. My thinking patterns lean to actions in my life. And We have to understand that. We have to accept that as well. Well, there's nothing wrong with the way I think. Oh, really? Really? That's exactly the attitude that the people of Judah had. They had that same attitude. What's wrong with the way we're thinking? We got to live somewhere. I mean, who wants to live in a dump? I don't want to live in a dump. I happen to like sealed walls. You know, plaster, texture, nothing wrong with that. But what had they forgotten? To build God's temple. God was not criticizing them for having houses. He was criticizing them that their thinking had brought them just to their house and didn't move on to fix His house. There was a problem with their thinking that led to their lack of action. You know, there are thinking problems that lead to lack of action when it comes to our families, when it comes to our giving, when it comes to our support of God's work anywhere in the world. And we sometimes have wrong thinking that keeps us from going where we ought to go. What they ought to have done is when they got their house done, get started on God's house. But something stopped them. And you know what it was? Wrong thinking stopped them from moving them on. And that brings me to the third point here. And we'll be done for this evening. And it's this. Consider your... It's in the plural, isn't it? Consider your ways. God not only had a problem with the fact that they had not started on His house, but their thinking was affecting other things. He didn't say consider your way about this one subject. Consider your ways. Twice He uses that phrase in the plural. God had a situation here that concerned Him with His people because their wrong thinking or ill-considered thinking, I'm giving them some latitude there. God wasn't condemning them because they fixed their houses up. He was getting on their case because they had stopped thinking about His house. Their ill-considered thinking was not only affecting them about their decision to finish God's house or even get started on it, but it was affecting other ways too. And this is where wrong thinking doesn't just affect you in one area of your life. What's the expression, no man's an island? It affects other people. It may affect your children. It may affect people that are in your local church. And you haven't considered that. This is a point that I think is so, so important. This use of the word in the plural, consider your ways, tells me that their wrong and ill-considered thinking had led to other areas of wrong actions that affected their relationship with Jehovah God. Now, what they did about it was to get their thinking back where it ought to be. That's so wonderful about this story. They realized what they had done. And they got right with God and they got busy on His house. But what did they have to change first? Their thinking. They had to consider. They had to assess rightly their ways. You know, this non-action of building God's house, we haven't started on that, was a result of wrong thinking or ill-considered thinking on this side. So what needs to be changed? You have to change your thinking. And I want to tell you something. This is the marvel of the Word of God, Christian. When you miss your devotions, you know what you do allow to take place at that moment? You're allowing wrong thinking to start creeping in because I'm going to tell you, it's the battlement of the Word of God that keeps your thoughts right. And I don't think anybody sitting in this room tonight can argue a different point. It's the battlement of the Word of God that puts a hedge around your thinking. And if you skip Bible time, hit and miss, just do it on Sunday and Wednesday night, your thinking is going to be skewed. Because what you've done is you've taken brick by brick the battlement of the Word of God apart in your life. And what happens when you do that? The arrows of Satan start making their way through the wall. Right? because you've not been protecting yourself. It's the Word of God. He said, well, I'll catch it with a shield of faith. You better be quick. But I'm going to tell you something. What happens to your faith when you're not studying God's Word? It starts diminishing too. This little book in the Old Testament has so much application for us today, it's just overwhelming to consider. Consider your ways. God had a serious problem, not for what they had done, but what they hadn't done. And what led them to not do what they were supposed to do? Wrong thinking led them to do that. They got sloppy. You know, sloppiness can be a real problem. As I was coming back from the hospital last night, I blew a high pressure hose on my power steering unit that goes and feeds. And I started, I noticed a little bit of, whenever I turned, I could hear the psst, and you could see it come up through the hood. Uh-oh, I got a hole somewhere. You know where it was? There's a sleeve on the hose that protects it. Inside that sleeve was where the hole developed. It was completely hidden. Evidently, it had been seeping for some time, and I just didn't notice it. But then when I started turning last night, making the turns off Avalon onto that, all of a sudden, psst, I could smell it coming through the fan, that fluid smell. I said, uh-oh, I've got something going on. I got to the house. The Lord allowed me to make it there, and it was all up inside my wheel well. It was all inside the thing where that fluid had been spraying when it was under pressure, whenever I was turning. And so now the truck's down at TNA right now being worked on. Now, that hose that had served for 20-something years failed. It failed. It had been manufactured to handle that pressure, but over time, what happened? Heat breaks down rubber. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. I'm making an application here. Heat breaks it down, and then the pressure's still the same. Still the same. And it gave way. And the same thing will happen to you, Christian. You need the Word of God to constantly shore up so under the pressure of life, you don't give and collapse. May God help us to consider our ways and to realize that that's not just a cute little saying that we like to use from the book of Haggai, but really it's God had a real serious problem with them because wrong thinking had led to lack of action. And God had to stir them up, and He had to do some pretty tough things to bring them to the right way of thinking. Would you consider what He did pretty tough? I think so. Can you imagine if that happened to us here in Milton? We're sorry, but the peanut crop isn't coming in this year. Neither is the cotton crop. And we've noticed that the cattle in Santa Rosa County aren't producing babies anymore. Chickens aren't laying eggs. And the maternity ward up at Santa Rosa Medical Center, they're not seeing a whole lot of babies. We would probably say, oh, that would definitely cause a stir. Yeah, that's exactly what happened in Judah. And they still didn't get the connection. They just thought it was one of those periods of life. We all go through them, the Great Depression era and the Dust Bowl. We all have those periods of life. Well, maybe God's talking. We're not listening. Thankfully, they listened. And they got things right with God. Let's pray and ask God to help us in this regard. Father, I thank You for the testimony of Haggai, a man who was 70 years old when he wrote this book, a man who had seen the destruction in Jerusalem, had been taken into captivity, and now he had come back. Man up in years, serving Thee. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to take to heart the message that You gave him, to consider our ways. Not just a quick overview, but rather a heart-to-heart with ourselves, to honestly appraise, is my thinking right? Am I allowing the Word of God to shield my mind from areas that I ought not to be going into? To shield my mind from thoughts that will keep me from doing what I ought to do? Lord, I pray that You would help us all to understand the importance of considering our ways and not allow wrong thinking to deter us from doing what we ought to do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.